There are many places across Wisconsin with Native American names. You think about Oshkosh, Wausau, Wabena are a few of them. Today we're learning the meaning behind those names and why it's important for us to know the stories. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Anaquit Ryder is our guest today. He's executive director of Minnekanakim. It's an organization supporting and building a healthier Menominee community. So as we talk with Anaquit, I hope you'll join in. Do you live in a town with a Native American name? Tell us what you know about your home story. How important are names to you? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Anaquit, welcome back to the Larry Mueller Show. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, Larry, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know, there are countless Wisconsin towns and cities with Native American names. Generally, how much do you think people know about their history?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people probably don't know how much of those names are derived from traditional languages like Menominee, some Ojibwe names as well, and others. I think I've seen multiple times on, you know, TikTok or other things where they have people try to pronounce the names, and it's quite comical to hear them kind of butcher up the words a bit or try their best to say it.
And why is it important that people know the stories behind the places with Native American names in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, I think it's really quite simple in understanding that, you know, this land has been occupied for a very long time. And, you know, the people that were here prior to the dominant society being here, you know, had 10,000 plus years in that occupation. You know, there's things that have happened in certain areas and special meaning behind some places that mean a whole lot to those folks. And the Menominee tribe being definitely one of those tribes that have been here for a long time and, you know, have a lot of these place names. The word Wisconsin is a Menominee word. You know, I think it's very important that we remember those.
And they, as you say, they have a literal meaning, or they might have a literal meaning and then a meaning associated with a story, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. You know, the like I just mentioned earlier, you know, the word Wisconsin in our language, they say it, Wiscosin. And that kind of just roughly translates to an all-encompassing word, meaning that everything here, you know, is good and well, you know, meaning water, air, land, animals, all of it.
It's interesting to me that the languages like Menominee and Ho-Chunk describe the world differently than English describe it.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel, you know, our language is, you know, 80% verbs and 20% nouns compared to English being the opposite of that.
And there are spiritual aspects of native languages, are there not?
Yes, sir. You know, there's just, you know, certain areas that real special things have happened there in our history and in our culture. And those names that happen to be in those places, you know, reflect that story or that oral tradition that happened there.
Patty in Manitowoc has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Patty. Thank you for calling.
Yes, hi. Thank you for having this subject matter. I was born and raised in Manitowoc, and Manitowoc is a Native American name, and I believe it means meeting of the spirits or meeting of the waters. And what particular tribe, I'm not sure, but I'm sure there was quite the blending of Native Americans.
Well, Patty, thanks a lot for calling, and I'm sure you know a lot about that, Anaquit.
Yeah. that you know, so that word kind of breaks down to a couple different things, and Manitou is a spirit, is a way that our people you know, see these helpers, you know, in our culture, and the ending there is the walk is the AK at the end, references that there's many. So the way I would understand it is it's like the place of a lot of spirits or even animals, because sometimes we use that Manitowoc as animals too.
So very, very cool. you mentioned Wisconsin. I've heard, and you mentioned the pronunciation. A pronunciation I'd heard was Mesconsing.
Mm.
Yeah, does that ring a bell with you at all?
Not really. I remember one of our elders talking about the word Wiscosin, you know, and breaking that down, that word down, and understanding that it's really, you know, like an all-encompassing word. It talks about all the things that are really good here.
I know historians, or at least Western historians, track down a name's origin by looking at the first time it was written. In mm-hmm. Wisconsin case, why might written words not tell the full story?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you know, the place names, it's hard sometimes to translate, you know, the indigenous language into English. There's not really a direct translation, and sometimes it, you know, it might need a story to be able to understand what that word actually means.
David in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, David.
Hello. My question may not be something that your guests can answer, but it does involve a place name that with a Native American origin. I was studying maps in central Wisconsin and noticed that Norwalk, Wisconsin, is adjacent to Wilton, Wisconsin. Well, I grew up in Norwalk, Connecticut. And Wilton, Connecticut is adjacent to Norwalk, Connecticut, about 5 miles away. And I'm mystified by this, and I tried to do some research. I talked to a librarian in Norwalk, Wisconsin, and I've consulted some sources about place names of Wisconsin, that book. And what I did find out so far is that Norwalk, Wisconsin is named after Norwalk, Ohio, which itself is named for Norwalk, Connecticut.
Oh, my goodness me, David, that's an interesting story. Anequit, are you at all familiar with that? Probably not, but maybe you want to throw something in there.
No, definitely not familiar with that, but feels like there's probably an incredible story behind that, though.
It is indeed. David, thanks for that. That was really interesting. You can join in too, number 800-642-1234, email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's talk about Oshkosh. Tell us a little bit more about, the Menominee chief Oshkosh, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's true, Larry. You know, that word kind of just roughly translates to like the claw, and it's referencing, you know, like a bear claw. But Oshkosh is one of our really respected chiefs, and he did a lot for us. He was recognized as being, you know, the leader of our whole tribe, the chief of our whole tribe, and was a principal negotiator in our history when the United States government was trying to move us over to Minnesota, in Red Wing, Minnesota, and with the help of Oshkosh and other leaders at that time, refused to go over there because at the time, the Dakota and the Ojibwe, the Chippewa tribes were fighting with each other, and they were going to place us right in the middle of that, and our chief decided not to do that. So they were able to convince the United States government to keep us here in our ancestral homeland, and Oshkosh is definitely a big voice in that decision.
Let's go to Mona in Madison. Mona, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. Quick comment. I don't know if any of you saw the movie Starman several years ago.
Yeah.
We went to see it in a theater here in Madison, and the guy supposedly landed in the Shawamigan Forest,
mm-hmm.
and they butchered that, and the entire theater just crapped up. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
I remember the movie, but I don't remember that actually. You wonder how it was pronounced. Shawamigan or something like that. I don't know. Any thoughts on Shawamigan?
Yeah, that's actually an Ojibwe word, and I don't exactly know the translation entirely of it. But I haven't seen Starman, so I'm not.
It was a pretty good movie, actually. I liked it. Maybe aside from the mispronouncing of the Wisconsin towns. Oh, Mona, thank you very, very much. I'm going to have to dig that movie back out again because I did like it. Kevin in Wasaki. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, I've got a question about sometimes when I'm looking for the meaning, you know, the origin of these town names, I'm finding multiple different explanations. For example, Wasaki, you know, where I live, I've got one saying that's an Ojibwa word, meaning, you know, one thing like the good place, and then another source says it's a Chippewa word for a different meaning from a faraway land, and then another one from the Menominee saying it's a river, something about a river nestled in the hills. So for Wasaki, I find three different sources of where it originated from. How do you parse those out and find what it could possibly be, or at least try to narrow it down a little bit?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. You know, the Ojibwe language, and as is Potawatomi and other languages like Cree, are all Algonquin dialect, which is very similar to Menominee. You know, knowing Menominee, you could probably understand about 50% of what an Ojibwe speaker would be saying. but the principal things is, you know, Ojibwe languages usually use G's and not K's. And, you know, Menominee has more of a K sound. And that word Wasaki, the way I understand it, is like a place that's far away, but you're there. You know, is the way I understand it. It's like a far away place.
That you happen to be at. Oh, my goodness. This is interesting. An Inuit writer, our guest today, is executive director of Minnekanakim, and we'll talk some more with him, in fact, right up until 12:30 today, and you'll be able to join in as well. We'll take a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with our guest. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about the meaning behind our state's many Native American place names with our guest, Inuit writer. He's executive director of Minnekanakim. It's an organization supporting and building a healthier Menominee community. So, do you live in a place like Oconomowoc or maybe Okauchee? How much do you know about how your town earned its name? Give us a call. The number 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Kathy in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Kathy. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. It's interesting, the last caller mentioned Wasaki, because my question is in regard to the many place names in Wisconsin that begin with W-A-U. I can think of so many. Waupaca, Wausau, Milwaukee, Wabino was mentioned earlier, Wasaki. And I've long wondered if that that part of a name had some meaning in the Native American language. It also occurs to me that many of those places are near or on the water, and many of them are in the eastern part of the state. So yeah. I wonder if there's my suspicions have anything to do with anything.
It's a really cool question, Kathy. What do you think, Anakwet?
You know, they could definitely have things in common. That WA in the beginning could mean many things. But I wanted to just kind of touch on a little bit what the caller prior to this one had said is you know, that our language wasn't standardized, you know, back when some of these names were being said, and they just phonetically, you know, spelled them. So a lot of times, you know, phonetically, what looks like something to somebody might mean something else to another. So some of those names, you know, have kind of just taken their own kind of form, even though they are based on a indigenous language. but those prefixes, it just depends on what it is you're talking about. It could reference, you know, very many different things.
Well, does it not? Well, Milwaukee is an example, and I think Kathy mentioned that, of a Wa city. And its name comes from the language of the Ojibwa, the Ottawa, the Potawatomi.
Well, in our language, that word Wanaki is like a depression in the land or a hollow. You know, the word like Waukesha is kind of like a in our language they call it Wakosa, which would mean like a little fox. So there's not really, they're not similar, those words, and speak of different things, but they both start with the W-A.
Interesting. Kathy, thank you very much for calling. And on to Steve in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Steve.
Hi. So I just had a comment I had once read in a history book in the library that Lake Mills was called Tyrannina before it was renamed Lake Mills years ago.
I believe you're right. And there's Tyrannina. There was a tribe in the Lake Mills area. I'm not sure. Anakwet, any comment on that?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one either.
So, somebody else might have a comment on that as well. So, Peshtigo is another one that could have several different name meanings, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, even within the, you know, the tribe, different interpretations of that word. The one that I've heard used most often is a Patstiko. The meaning is kind of lost, but it has something to do with a deer and a wave. And I often thought of in a cultural story, one of our cultural stories there, there happens to be, you know, a connection to that story with the wave and the deer. But that's one of those names that maybe very well could be, you know, spelled phonetically and you lost the meaning of it.
Don in Iron River, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Don. Thanks for calling.
Hi. So I'm curious if anybody knows why the town of Kilgore changed their name to Wisconsin Dells.
I have no idea myself. Anakwet, are you familiar?
No, I'm not. Kilgore, I don't know what that means.
Sorry, we can't help you there, Don. Just another named Menasha. Louise had emailed wondering the meaning of Menasha, and why is and then the town had changed its name to Fox Crossing and wondered why.
Well, that word Menasha, in our language, they kind of say it Menasha. It means like a little island. And I wonder if it is, you know, that our people describe that. Is it Doty Island that's right there in Menasha? If maybe that is the tie to it, but Menasha is a little island.
Oh, so, and by the way, you know the meaning of the word Winnebago, too. How does it translate?
So in our language, they use that word Winnebago as like a, it's the, I forgot what plant it is that grows there. It's got like the potato, like a little Indian potato at the bottom. But it was, that's what the word references, and it's like dirty water. But it's referencing that Indian potato and the people that depend on that for a big staple of their diet.
Another listener called, couldn't stay with us, and you did address this a bit, but wondering how similar are the languages of different tribes to one another?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a whole Algonquin dialect and different dialects throughout the country, you know, Cree and Ojibwe and Menominee, Potawatomi. There's quite a few. Even Sauk language that's spoken, all have very similar languages. And the thing I could say really quickly is my name, Onaquit, is in Menominee. But if you were to say it in Ojibwe, it would be Onaquad. Huh. But it's the same, you know, pretty similar.
Yeah. And if you weren't paying attention, you wouldn't notice it for sure. Pat in Milwaukee called, but she couldn't stay with us. She'd like to share about the Door Open event in Milwaukee. There'll be a presentation about Indigenous history from a Marquette University professor. And the Open Door event happens this Saturday and Sunday. So I imagine, are you familiar with it, Onaquit?
I'm not.
If you type in, I'm sure, Open Door Event in Milwaukee, it's going to pop up on the search engine if you might be interested. It's a presentation about Indigenous history and involves a Marquette University professor. Number to call for your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Shawano was given its name because of where it was located on Chippewa territory, if I'm not mistaken. What does the word Shawano mean?
Well, you know, Shawano is named after actually one of our chiefs, chief, and Sawano is how you would say it in our language. It's funny when you hear people that come from, you know, out of state, and they look at the word Shawano and they actually pronounce it correctly. They say Shawano, or they have some closer meaning to it than actual the word Shawano. But there's a beautiful story of how Chief Shawano came to that location and was kind of driven by a dream, and his people settled there.
Very interesting. Stephanie in Washburn has something for us. Hi, Stephanie.
Yes. Hi, Larry. I've got a question for your desk. Excuse me, your guest. Bonjour. I had a dream once, and the only thing I remember is I heard a word in my dream. And when I woke up, I thought it sounded Anishinaabe, but maybe it was just nonsense my head made up. It sounded like either Mukwadewa Winini or Mushkadewa Winini. Does that mean anything, or is it just my mind making up gobbledygook?
Yeah, that Mushko Day, that is an Ojibwe word. I would definitely look to an Ojibwe speaker with that word, and they would be able to help you.
Yeah, well, it sounds like Muscaday.
Yeah.
The city of Muscaday. Well, Stephanie, there you go. Thank you for calling. Dot in Manitowoc, your turn. Hi, Dot.
Good morning. so many people mispronounce the city Milwaukee. It's M-I-L. So many people will say Milwaukee, M-A-U, or M-U-L. That's my comment.
You're right. Sometimes the emphasis, I know the term Green Bay, which is what we always say, there are some football announcers that'll say Green Bay. and it always irritates people who are listening to whoever's talking and get mad about it because they put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Helen in West and that obviously happens a lot in some of these town names. Helen in West Salem, your turn. Hi, Helen.
Okay. I just wondered if he's familiar with how Maiden Rock, Wisconsin, got its name. Now, that basically isn't an Indian name, but it's based on an Indian legend, and I just wondered if he's familiar with that.
Hmm.
You know, the rocks and play a really huge part in our culture, and there's many. One here at home that's pretty well known and is a spirit rock and is connected with a story, and there's a bunch of others in other places. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me that occurs. And I don't know the story per se, but I bet if I heard it, I would probably understand where it comes from.
Well, that's interesting about the rock, though. I and Maiden Rock, yeah, you could see where there's probably a story behind that one for sure. Helen, did you have did you know the story or a story?
Yes. We have family that's lived there since 1898. Anyway, what happened was this Indian maiden wanted to marry a white fellow, and her dad was going to kill the fellow, and so she threw herself off the rock.
Oh,
and so that's the story.
Well, that's a story for sure. and who knows if it's the right one, but it could be plausible, I guess. Vivian in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Vivian.
Well, thanks to Larry's show many years ago, I have a book called The Romance of Wisconsin Place Name. The authors were Robert Gard and L.G. Thornton, Heartland Press. It was first published in 1969 and then again in 1988. And I just looked up Lake Mills. I can look up Lafayette County. I can look up Herful Hills. It's a great paperback, and it's been a fun book to bring out at any gatherings. To look up, there's thousands of place names in here, so I would recommend it. It's absolutely interesting.
Well, I'm old enough and have been doing this show long enough to remember interviewing Bob Gard about that particular book, The Romance of Wisconsin Place Names, and it is an interesting book to read. And it may be before your time and I quit. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Okay, but if you could ever get your hands on it, I knew L.G. Thornton as well, too. I had an office in the same building that he had, and as a matter of fact, Bob Gard as well. So it was fun knowing those guys, and it's long since passed, of course. But I like that book as well, too, The Romance of Wisconsin Place Names. Anita in Ashwaubenon. Hi, Anita.
Hello. So I'm not originally from Ashwaubenon, but I've lived here over 50 years now. And a local historian told me the name, how Ashwaubenon got its name. Are you familiar with that?
Well, I mean, I've heard of something, but I would definitely be curious to hear what you heard.
Okay. Well, I heard that many years ago, there was a young maiden Indian, a native, kidnapped from over here by Ashwaubenon. It wasn't called that then, by I think a group over by Shawano. And the chief called the members together and asked who would go and find her. And this native named Little Crow said, I will go. So he took a band of natives with him, went over to Shawano, and when he got there, supposedly the men and boys were all out hunting. And Morningstar was in a little, probably a little wigwam or a little shack-like thing down the lane. And the Native women were sitting on either side across, and he had to walk between them to get to this little hut. And as he was walking, they kept looking back and forth at each other with their eyes, you know, giving like sideways glances, like back and forth. And he did get her, and he took her home. And then the chief offered him one of, I guess, three Indian princesses, and he said he would want Morningstar. And so his name had been Little Crow, but supposedly you get a name when you earn it, and they named him Ashwaubomay, which means sideways glances, like these women were giving back and forth to each other. But the reason that Ashwaubenon is called Ashwaubenon and not Ashwaubomay, supposedly whoever wrote it down in whatever book misspelled it. So it's Ashwaubenon. But there is a man-made lake here called Ashwaubomay.
Does that square with what you know at all, Inakwet?
Well, I don't know about the translation part, but that's something I've kind of heard that as well. But I know I have heard some of our elders use the word Eswapano as like the dawn is, you know, they're seeing the dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Wapano is that early morning time, and I've seen that being used before.
Interesting. Anita, thanks for calling. Todd in Waupaca, your turn. Hi, Todd.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good. Appreciate the call.
Yes, you could talk about Chief Waupaca, which I heard they said Waupaca. But I'd like to mention, I was always fascinated how the Native American language is one word describes so much. So we went up to Lake Gogebic in northern Michigan. And they said it translated into when a trout hit the surface, getting a bug, and it made the round circles. So I just thought that was, you know, how the one word describes so much. So
yeah,
I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for calling, Todd. Comment on that, Inakwet.
Yeah, you know, the language of our my ancestors are definitely describing words, you know, the way in which they see things. And like I said, sometimes it almost takes like a whole story to really understand the way in which they view things and seen things. And it gives you a different appreciation, really, for not only that beautiful Menominee language, our sacred language, but gives you a really good understanding of how our people, you know, seen things and the way they viewed it, how connected they were to it. I mean, it's beautiful.
I just wanted to get in that Leah had emailed us, says Kilbourne City, which was somebody asked about earlier, was for Brian Kilbourne, the president of La Crosse and Milwaukee Railroad Company, and the change to Wisconsin Dells happened around 1931. The word Dells was derived from the French word dales, which means flat layered or slab rock, which the area is known for, which I thought was kind of interesting as well. Sue in Wausau, we'll go to you. Hi, Sue.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Larry. I'm not sure if my question applies to your subject today, but I have been trying to work on my ancestry, and I know that my grandmother was half Native American, and I have a little bit of information about her, but is there anyone that can help me to find out more information?
Well, you know, I think if depending on, you know, what sort of ancestry it is you're looking for, I mean, I think if you would call any tribal headquarters and kind of let them know what you're trying to do, you know, they all, most of them, if not all of them, have, you know, departments that can help you with that.
Yeah, also the Wisconsin Historical Society has a lot of genealogy information, and I'm sure is probably clued into to some of that as well. So if you haven't tried, another place to go is the Wisconsin Historical Society, and give them a call and see what, or shoot them a note and see what you can find out that way, Sue. Well, Aniquit, it's been fun talking with you today. Here we are out of time. It flew by. Thanks for being with us. I hope we can do this again. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Larry.
Aniquit Ryder, our guest, executive director of Minnekanakim. Great to have him with us, and probably get him back down the road and see if we can do this again. Tomorrow on the show, insect expert PJ Leash is back to talk about which insects the diagnostic lab is getting the most calls about this fall. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.